Welcome to the Cutting Edge Ministries podcast. Our mission is threefold. One, to explain the goals and aspirations of the New World Order. Two, to explain how its implementation will affect the average American citizen and family. And number three, to show how families are being influenced now before we actually move into this system. Armed with this information, you will learn how you can protect yourself, your children, your family, your loved ones and friends, and live a triumphant Christian life in a most difficult world. And now to our podcast. Hello, this is Jim at Cutting Edge again, and today I've got Mac Dominic with me, and we just finished filming part four in our series, Deliver Us from Evil. Max, good to have you with us today.
Good to be here. Always a pleasure.
I felt like as we were going through this, there's so much about spiritual warfare in this one, and I kind of felt like we were fighting a battle with the pollen here, and I just hope your voice will hold out a little bit longer for
us.
Yeah,
it's a little scratchy.
Okay, so we had a little battle with a couple of dying batteries here, so we were challenged, but as you talk about all of these gods that are thought so much as we were going through school, is this just stuff people made up, you know, or their explanation of something they were watching? It really was their explanation of something they were
exactly
watching.
You know, the thing is that as Christians, we have for so long just relegated mythology to something that wasn't real.
Yes.
And we look at the Greek myths, we look at the Roman myths, we look at the gods of Mesopotamia and all of those things where even the names are mentioned in the Bible, we just write it off as, oh, those were not real. Those were just somebody's imagination or somebody talking to their imaginary friend. Well, we miss out on a lot of truth in the Word of God by not taking a supernatural view of the Word of God. We have to remember, in all aspects of our Bible study, in our teaching, in exegesis, or whatever we're doing, that the Bible is a supernatural book, and we must look at it supernaturally.
Yeah, we have to. It just amazes me as we go through this, the spiritual battles, and you tie this up so well near the end of this video. The spiritual battles that we are looking at in this video, I'm thinking about, wow, we are seeing this spiritually happening through our government with what's going on in Israel and what the politicians are doing, and the battle is on. And
absolutely.
It is something we don't see, but we see the effects.
That's right. That's right. The fact of the matter is that we have the Holy Spirit in the world today. And the Holy Spirit indwells every believer. And the Holy Spirit is warring against these evil entities. Because this is a battle of God versus Satan, of good versus evil, righteousness versus unrighteousness, whatever you want to call it. And so we do have the Holy Spirit, but as we come closer to the end of the age, it seems like the hindering spirit is backing down, and these false gods are coming back to really get bolder and bolder as their time is short.
Exactly. We are seeing a falling away here because the people of America we've lost our soul. We've lost so much of our morality, and things are just really falling apart. And it's like the evil forces are winning to an extent. But as you say, the Holy Spirit is there to protect us. And in my own church, we're in Corinthians 15, and I'm looking at, we're getting very close to where we're going to, you know, down the road there, we're going to be talking about the rapture of the church and that blessed hope we have of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we know from 2 Thessalonians that the Holy Spirit is called the hinderer, and he that hinders will be taken out of the way, and then the evil forces will run rampant over, roughshod actually, over the earth.
Yeah, it's so sad when I look at even here recently the way things are taken out of context, and we're given lies
because and Trump is really bad about misspeaking and using words.
Absolutely.
I mean, he sets himself up for this, but this word bloodbath is just being totally taken out of context. And we've kind of done that with the Bible a lot sometimes in the way we've taught it. We've oversimplified it.
That's right. That's right. If you look at the Bible, if you interpret, and let's start with the Old Testament. If you interpret your Old Testament according to who it was written to, we have to understand that the Bible was written for us, but it was not written to us. It was written in a distinct time, during distinct cultures, to a distinct group of people, and that's how we have to interpret that. We have to look at our Bible as a Jewish person. In the Old Testament, we have to look at our Old Testament as a Jewish person in the time of Moses or in the time of Ezra or in the Second Temple period. We have to look at what is written in the Bible as those people would have looked at it. And guess what? Those people knew very well the effects of worshiping false gods. They knew about people burning their children to Chemosh. They knew about Baal, the storm god. They knew about all these false religions and all the what we would call debauchery, immorality to a degree we can't even imagine that was going on with all of this. And so we have to look at those things that were written in that light and not in the light of the 21st century where we think that, oh, those were imaginary things.
Yeah, I think we've probably, I was thinking as you were talking, that we've kind of made this a little bit more that we're more comfortable with it as
exactly.
We're looking at it as things we see today.
Yeah.
We didn't see all this back then.
We adapted to our own culture and lifestyle.
We do, and that's
and that's the wrong part. Now you can't get too carried away with this because there's moderation on both ends of this. Mm-hmm. But when we interpret scripture, we have to look at what was going on in the culture there at the time, and instead of trying to pigeonhole our own culture and our own way of life into the scripture.
Yeah, we really do. And I was when we started into this, you were talking about who Satan is, and he's the accuser.
Yep.
And I'm thinking so much. I didn't realize about all the other accusers, and you mentioned that, and we won't go into much of that here, just so that we don't get too lengthy in this podcast, because the video is a long video.
It's long.
I'm gonna be having a good time getting back into this and editing this and getting it ready for the DVD. But the idea of many accusers.
See, the problem is that our English translation of our Bibles just says Satan or Lucifer or the devil, or, you know, and in most instances, all the instances in the Old Testament and most of the instances in the New Testament, when it says Satan, it is the Satan. It is not a proper name. It is a title of the definition of Satan in the Old Testament is accuser. So you can, instead of saying Satan appeared before God to accuse Job, you could say the accuser appeared before God to accuse Job. And was that the same entity as the Nakash in the Garden of Eden? That we call Satan, was it the same entity as the one in the garden? The book of Revelation ties a lot of that together, and we can say with all confidence that Satan that tempted Jesus was the same Satan that caused Adam and Eve to fall, and we can say it's the same Satan that is portrayed as the dragon in the book of Revelation, and we can say that with confidence. But there are places in the Old Testament that we aren't 100% sure that is exactly the same entity. It could be another evil accuser of Job, or an evil entity that persuaded David to number the people, and in those instances that Satan appears in the Old Testament.
Yes, and I, as we put the pieces of this puzzle together, as I was looking at everything that you were presenting in this PowerPoint presentation and the things that you said, I was so glad, and you pulled this together at the end. We've got the Holy Spirit, and we're not fighting this battle alone as Christians.
No, that's right.
We have the Holy Spirit, and those who don't, they're really in big trouble.
They're in big trouble. What we've got here, when you look at the world, life, the Bible, let's add it all together, you've got a 2,000-piece jigsaw puzzle.
Yes.
And everything has to interlock. I mean, you can't take one piece that's square and try to put in a round hole, as they say. Or you can't put a round peg in a square hole. Everything has to interlock, and everything has to work together. So that's why we have to interpret Scripture always in the light of other Scripture. That's why we have to go Genesis to Revelation and take the Old Testament and the New Testament and bring them all together. And we do that by getting back to the text. We have to get back to the original text. We've got to take the idea that the translation that we have is perfect, because it's not a perfect translation. There's always something lost in the translation. And so we've got to get away from translations. We've got to look at all the translations. We've got to look at the original language, and we've got to put this puzzle together with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, because, you know, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is illumination. Mm-hmm. And yes, we cannot do this of our own. Any of us that are teachers, that are presenting a program of any type, need to be on our knees in prayer and asking for the illumination of the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us, because this is a task that is beyond our human capability.
It is. I think what I pray for most in my life of anything is godly wisdom. Yeah. To react properly to everything that's going on around me.
Well, so there is. You can sum it up in two words: illumination and discernment.
Exactly.
Because we need the illumination of the Holy Spirit, and then we need the discernment. We need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to identify what's truth and what's not truth, because falsehood generally doesn't come as a scorpion somebody's put in your hand. It comes as that gift-wrapped, beautiful present to be opened up and enjoyed.
With that little twist that catches you in the end.
Exactly.
It's always like when I used to go fishing, you know, we'd put this beautiful piece of whatever that fish likes on a hook, and we knew which fish liked what. One of the fish we used to catch all the time was the Atlantic spade fish, and the only thing they eat is jellyfish. So we had to go out and catch jellyfish, a type that wouldn't sting us, cut it up, put it on a hook, and tease that fish. And we had to take it away from them.
That's right.
And then make them chase it.
That's
and
right.
Then all of a sudden we'd let them catch it.
Exactly.
And then we had them. So that's the way it is with Satan. You know, he tempts us, and there's all these temptations out there. But
he's not called the father of liars for nothing.
That's true. That is true. So, Mac, I really appreciate you being here with us today, and thank you so much. I know your voice is probably about
half. Thank you, Jim. My voice is about gone, as you can tell.
Thank you so much, and we just thank God that we've been able to do this today.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Thank you. The world now stands at the precipice of the appearance of Antichrist and his false prophet. Are you born again? You can find the entire biblical salvation plan by going to our homepage, cuttingedge.org, and there'll be a link there to the salvation plan. You can contact us by phone at 800-451-8211 or from our homepage by mail or email. I want to thank you for once again listening to our podcast, and we'll see you next time. God bless you.